Tonight, we're in another lesson of the Koine Greek. We're in the verb section. What I plan to do, what I've announced in the past, is that I'm going to try to approach our learning with a hands-on approach this time around. Last couple of years, we went through the textbook of Dr. Black. Section by section, I think we got to major lesson number 12. And, you know, that's good. That's very good because we have, at least we've seen the components of the Koine language up to that point. I've decided to give us a more hands-on approach. That is, we're actually going to learn the language of it, and then we're going to actually use it, see it, work with it, see it, use it in our interlinear so that we can actually see in the scriptures what we've learned. And we're doing this together. And, you know, it's going to, you know, in my thought, this is a lifelong journey for me. So we might be here for a while, but nevertheless, whatever you glean from our together sessions in this Koine Greek will definitely be to your advantage when you personally study the scriptures on your own. You already know more things about the Koine than you ever did in your life, myself included. So that's excellent. Begin with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, through your Son, the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, the Creator of the world, the Lamb of God who shed his precious blood foreordained before the foundation of the world, we thank you that we understand such awesome things in this dark place, knowing that we can trust you. We can trust in your word. We can trust in what you've given to us. We can trust that your hand is upon us. We can trust that you walk with us every second of every day. We pray that we don't lean to our feelings. We pray that we don't lean to our situations that we face in the flesh on this planet. And we pray that we might lean to your truth and to the facts of what you've told us through your word. We pray that you would help us to endeavor in the Koine Greek to learn of the original language that the Holy Spirit used to pen through men, your awesome New Testament scriptures. We do this from pure consciences and from a pure heart, ones that would want to learn of you. And we know that you would delight in that. We feel that certainly you must delight in our endeavors. And we pray that you give us the strength and the energy and the zeal and the love for this Koine Greek and for your scriptures in order that we might be better students, better rightly dividers, and for sure, for a surety, that we might glean an unfolding further abundance of knowledge through your word. We humbly pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. So let's turn to our textbook. That's a small book. Our text, that's what I call it, by David Allen Black. And last time, we went through, we learned about the Greek verb system. We went through the fact that the verbs are inflected and what that was. We noticed that in the Koine Greek that the verb system has a number of titles to its components. That is, it has person, it has number, it has mood, it has voice, and it has tense. And we went over that somewhat fairly well last time. And what we're going to do now, this lesson, is we're all going to look at the facts of person and number. That is to say, If you open up your text to page 11, you'll notice that in the paradigm, that's the gray box in the middle of page 11. Just for the heck of it, is everybody there? Just give me a yes. Page 11 in the text, is everybody there? That's in the small book, not in the interlinear. Okay. So, is everybody there? All right. See, I have to know this because is Chip there? My hand. Okay, Chip. Well, all right. We won't. Yeah. Okay. Very good, Chip. Carry on. All right. We notice that we're going to look into the Greek form for the verb I have. We're going to actually look into the New Testament. And we're going to see that we're going to look in the person and number inflections of the Greek verb form for I have. And notice on page 11 that in the singular, there's three persons. First person, second person, and third person. And in the plural, there's three persons also. First person, second person, and third person plural. All right, so, and we notice that in the English rendering of that, the equivalent of first person singular would be I have. Second person singular would be you have. Third person singular would be he, she, or it has. First person plural would be we have. Second person plural would be you all have. And third person plural would be they have. All right, so turn the page. Turn the page to page 12. Now, in the middle of page 12, we have the Greek form for I have, which is ek, the root ek. And then we have the suffix endings, which we went over a bit last time. And we'll notice that the paradigm, that's the gray box, the inflected forms of I have in the first, second, and third person singular are echo, ekes, and eke. That's how you pronounce that. And then in the first, second, and third person plural for the Greek form I have, it's ekamen, eketa, and ekousi, actually. And so that would be, if we see echo in the scriptures, it would be I have. If we see ekes, it would be you have in the singular. Eke would be he or she or it has. Ekamen would be we have. Ekata would be you all have, and ekousi would be they have. And so what we're going to do is we're in fact going to look at some of these forms in the New Testament. And therefore, you can say after tonight that you have learned at least one Greek verb form, I have, and you have seen it in its inflected forms in the New Testament. And, you know, that to me is, you know, for these brief minutes that we have, at least what you're going to do is you're going to look into the Koine Greek, and you're actually going to know something right off the bat. All right, so I hope that makes sense to you. All right, so we're looking at the inflected forms of the Greek form for I have in the New Testament scriptures. So in your interlinears, turn to Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1 in your interlinears. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read half of, I'm going to read Romans 5:1 in the Koine. I might not get this perfect, but it'll be close, if not accurate. Okay, so I hope you guys are all there. Romans 5, in the Koine, interlinear, Romans 5:1. Dikai fentes, un ek, pistuos, Herenen Ekelmen Prastan Thaan Dia Tu Kuriu Hemon Hezu Christu. Christu, actually. And what that translation is would be, then by faith, having been justified, we have peace with God through the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. And what I want to point out to you is the inflected form of I have in the Greek form ekelmen. You see that there. We have. Do you see that? Ekelmen. We have, ekelmen. We have been justified by faith and have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. We have ekelmen. So you see that right there. So, I'm going to carry on. Okay, this is what we're doing tonight. All right, we're looking at these inflected form for I have hands on in the interlinear. The next scripture is Romans 12:4. I hope this makes sense to you. Romans 12:4. Turn there in your interlinear. And it reads, I'm going to read Romans 12:4, maybe half of it, or more. Kethapergar en heni somati mele pola ekomen tad menle patan utain autain eke pars kin plaskin. And what that translates to for is this. For in one body we have, for as in one body we have many members, but members are all not the same, are all, but the members all have not the same function. So we notice there the Greek form, again, inflected form, is we have, ekelmen. For as in one body, we have many members, ekelmen. All right? So you see it again, the inflected form. We have, in the body of our flesh, that is. Of course, this is Romans. It's an Acts period book. Turning to Romans 15:17 in your interlinear. And it reads, echo un car casein en Christo Jesu ta pras theon. And what that translates to is, I have therefore in Christ glorying the things with God. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God is the King James translation. I have a translation which says, Therefore I have glorying in Christ Jesus as to the things pertaining to God. And we notice the inflected form is in the first person singular. I have. Echo. Do you see that? We had two examples of echoman. We have. And now we have the example of I have. Echo. I have therefore. I have. Therefore I have glorying in Christ Jesus as to the things pertaining to God. I have. Echo. All right. And to me, you know, I don't know, I don't know your minds, but to me, you will remember this. This is why I'm doing it this way, instead of just going lesson by lesson, by lesson, by lesson, and never looking into the scriptures, because if you use your interlinears, I can bet that your brains are going to pick up on what we go over this way. Because now, and this might be slow going, but so what? Because what you're doing is you're learning the inflected forms of a particular Greek verb, and also there are other Koine Greek verbs that have these endings. Alright? So just kind of stick that in the back of your mind, and we'll keep on going. Romans 8:9, and by the way, turn to Romans 8:9. By the way, you know, to me, just sitting here reading these few scriptures is awesome. All right, so I don't, you know, I hope that you're not saying, well, that's good for you, Mike, but I don't mind doing this whatsoever because, you know, we're reading the scriptures, right? I mean, there can be nothing better than that, and I don't care if you were sitting here just reading the scriptures for 50 minutes, you know. But now we're getting a shot of the Koine verb form, verb system, all right. So now we turn to Romans 8:9, and in the Koine it reads, "Humes dek uk esta en." Sarki ala en pneumati eper pneuma, actually. If, believe it or not, I learned this from Eddie the Greek. He said that it's not pneuma, but he believes, and he grew up with Greek-speaking people, they pronounce it pneuma with the P. Pneuma. And so that's the way I'm going to pronounce it because I trust Eddie the Greek. He grew up with a Greek-speaking people. So it's not pneuma in the Greek, it's pneuma. So going back to Romans 8:9, I left off with pneuma, theu, oike, and humin, Ede tis pneuma Christo uk eke. And we notice that the last Greek form, and I'm going to stop there, is eke, which is the third person singular inflected form of I have. And the translation would be, "But you are not in flesh, but in spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Yeah. "But if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ," and don't read mine, Mike. Oh, all right. I should probably finish the verse. utas uk estin autu. All right, so I'll repeat this again. The translation would be, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, this one is not his. And we notice that the Greek verb form for have is has there. He has, she has, it has, translated eke. Can you see that? Can all of you see that? Eke. It's translated by the word has. He has. She has. It has. Okay, so now we have seen the first person. We have seen the third person singular form of inflected form of I have. All right? That's the point here. That makes sense to you all. I think you've seen that, all right? And that's a fantastic scripture, by the way. I'll translate it, read the translation again. But you are not in flesh, but in spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone has, that is, if anyone, he, she, or it, has not the Spirit of Christ, this one is not his. Awesome. Okay, so we have the first person, a third person, pardon me, singular form of I have there in the scriptures. All right, Romans 10:2, and I have I have about seven or eight other scriptures to go through, and I hope this is okay with you, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to go, this is person number, all right? The next lesson we're going to do is on the mood of inflected verb forms in the Greek. And so, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to set forth examples, real examples that you can see yourself learning out of the text, and then translating it right to your New Testament Greek. That's what I'm doing. Might be laborious, but I like it. If I hope you do. All right. Romans 10:2. And by the way, as we're reading the Greek, if you might want to. You might want to read the Greek and read it in your mind. That is, try to pronounce it as I am in your mind, or you might look around, and if nobody's there, you can do it out loud. And, nobody will laugh at you, at least if nobody's there. So, let's look at... that was a little bit of humor, by the way. Let's... turn to Romans 10:2. And in the Koine it reads, Marturo gar autois hati zelon theu ekousin alu kat epigenosin. Kat epigenosin. And what that translates to is this: for I testify to them that they have zeal to God, but not according to knowledge. All right, and this could be, I'm not sure what the context is here, But we notice that we have the koine inflected form in the third person plural, ekousin. They have. For I testify to them that they have ekousin, zeal to God, but not according to knowledge. Okay, so it could be that Paul is getting on the Jews for being ignorant of the truth because they don't have the knowledge of the Lord. I'm just surmising that, but unfortunately that seems to have been the case many times with Israel. Turn to Romans 15:4. All right, so far we've seen a number of these inflected forms. For the Greek form, verb form, I have right out of the textbook and right into your interlinear. Romans 15:4. I might have about seven more scriptures. Romans 15:4 in your interlinear. And, you know, and it doesn't hurt for you to try to pronounce the Greek, because sooner or later, you're going to have to do it anyway. Romans 15:4. Hasa gar paeg rafe paeg rafe eistein hemeteran Didaskalian proegraphe hina diates hupomanes kaites parakle seos ton graphon te elpida ekomen. And what that translates to is this: for what things were written before were written for our instruction, that through patience and encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. Awesome. Hallelujah. Mikey needs to read that scripture every day, that we might have hope. We have hope through the patience and encouragement of the Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah. And here we have the inflected form in the third person plural, ekomen, that we might have hope. All right, nine more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. And in the Koine it reads, Hey uk, hoidate, hati ta soma, humon, naas tu en, humin, hagiu, numatas, estin u ekete, apatheo. Theo, actually, it's not Theo, it's Theu. Theu, kai uk esta, eotan, eoton, actually, eoton. And what that translates to is, or do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit in you, which you have from God, and you are not of yourselves, And we have the second person plural form. You have, eketa. Do you see that? Which you have from God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Which you have, you all have, eketa, from God. Awesome. 1 Corinthians 11:22. You know, and what we're doing here is that we're giving you enough examples so that, you know, you have a number of books here where you can actually see these inflected forms at work. 1 Corinthians 11:22. And it reads in the Greek, Me gal oikias uk eketa aista esthein kai pinein heites ekklesias tu theu. Kata phron neta kai katai sku neta tus me ekuntas ti humin e po. Epein neso humas en tuto uk epaino. Epino. And what that translates to is this. Do you not have houses in which to eat or to drink? Or do you despise the church or the assembly of God and shame to those who have not? What do I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? I do not praise. And so we find the second person plural form, which is eketa again, for you all, do you not all have houses? Eketa, you all have houses. And, I picked this because Winchester was eating. Let's turn to Ephesians 1:7. We're going to have 6 verses in our calling now. Ephesians 1:7. And by the way, there was another assignment for you all last time. And we'll eventually get to it. Remembering that on page 247 of your text, there was a number of vocabulary forms that you were supposed to look up in your lexicon. Do you remember that? Do you guys remember that? Good. Because eventually we're going to get to these. And what we did, what I assigned last time is I assigned Agathos through Airo to be looked up in your lexicon. And the reason I'm doing this is because I've been instructed that you guys and me must build a great vocabulary. You are not, according to all the texts, the good teachers that I've read in the Koine, you need to build, if you're going to do this, and if you're going to spend time with this, you need to get familiar. Good. You need to get familiar with Greek forms, with the vocabulary. You do. Just to get familiar with them. how to pronounce them, how they're written, how to use the alphabet, how to see the accent marks, and the different rules that apply as you go. Because eventually I have something else in my pocket to pull out on you guys. It's another small book that a vocabulary of the New Testament that would be good for you to have. And I'll go into that in later lessons, Lord willing. Let's turn to Ephesians 1:7. All right, now we're going to get into our awesome calling. And there's nothing wrong with this at all. And so, if nothing else, if time runs out tonight, we can start with the vocabulary next time. The vocabulary on 247, page 247 of your text. And of course, all of these forms begin with alpha. And by the way, we're going to go through every vocabulary form on pages 247 to 253, at least. All right, so that's coming. And it would probably be a good idea if you would write these out. Learn how to write the characters. It helps you understand and identify the forms easier. It does. You know, the idea of seeing something and working with something and then hearing something, that idea of teaching. Well, many so-called experts believe that that is the way to teach. You know, the listening and then seeing and then the doing. So that's what I'm no expert, but that's what we're going to do. All right, Ephesians 1:7. And in the Koine it reads, "En ho, ekomen, tein, apalutrosin, dia tu haematas, tein, ephesin, ton, para tomaton, karatan, pluton, tes, Christas," Karistas autu. And of course, Karistas is grace. So the translation of Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of deviations according to the riches of his grace." Awesome. And so, there was a time or two years ago, after teaching, people, whoever they were, said, "Well, these mystery people, they don't preach the blood." Well, on the contrary, they weren't just listening. That's the problem. So, we preach the blood because it's smack dab right in the middle of our calling. We do nothing. We go nowhere. We are nothing without the blood of the Lamb, and that's proven out in Ephesians 1. We have redemption. We have ekumen. We have redemption through his blood, the remission of deviations according to the riches of his grace. And I'll just say this as a sidebar. The riches of the Father's grace towards us is unspeakable if you study it. That's and is what is to come for us. And we've been sealed there. There's no unsealing in the ones that our dear Heavenly Father has sealed. Ephesians 2:18. And in the Koine, it reads, Pati di autu ekamen tain plas ago gain hoi ophoteroi en eni pneumati plas tan patera. And it translates, for through him we have both, we have ekumen, we have both access by one Spirit to the Father. We have access to the Father directly and boldly through the Lord Christ Jesus. No doubt about it. Ephesians 3:12. It seems like a lot of these are going to be the third person plural, we have. Ephesians 3:12. En ho ekomen tein paresian kai tein pras agogein en pepoi these dia teis Pestuos atu, translated, in whom we have boldness and access in confidence through his faith. Incredible. We have ekumen. Colossians 1:14. We have three more to go. Yeah.
That we have is that first person.
That's third person plural. Ekumen. Oh, wait a minute.
First person.
Oh, is it first plural? Yeah, I'm sorry. It's first person plural. My wife corrected me. Ekumen. We have first person plural. We have. We all can make mistakes. Colossians 1:14. Oh boy, again. And in the Koine it reads, En ho ekumen tein apalutro sin dia tu aimatas autu tein effacing ton amartion. Awesome. Translated, in, it reads, In whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of hamartion, of sins. Awesome. Colossians 2:1. Two more to go. And in the Koine it reads, Thelo gar. Humas, Edane, Helikan, Agona, Echo peri Humon kai ton en Laodikea. Translated, it means, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have, echo, concerning you and those in Laodicea. See, Paul would weep over these people at times. You know, it could be our experience too when we preach the mystery and it's trodden underfoot, or it's not heard, or it's misunderstood, or it's rejected. And I think Paul went through this many of times, and he knew the extent of what the Father was given us, and then how it was accepted by those that he loved, some of them, certainly. And so those at Laodicea, he would have a great struggle for them, because in his heart, he wanted all those that he knew to know this awesome truth. I think there's no doubt about that. Colossians 4:1 is the last one for tonight. And in the Koine it reads, Hoi, kuri oi, ta, dekaion, kai tein, isa, teta, tois, dulois, parakes, the parakesta, e dates, hoiti kai, humes, ekate, kurian, en uranois. And the translation of that would be, Lord, give the just thing and supply equality to the slaves, knowing that you have, ekata, you all have, second person plural, of I have. You all have a Lord, actually in the heavens also. And so that would end the going over these inflected forms of the Greek root ek, or I have. But notice back on page 12 of your text, notice the suffix endings. Echo, ekes, eke, ekamen, ekata, ekusi. And you'll notice that these endings, o, ace, a, amen, eta, usi, those endings will also be on other Greek verbs throughout your learning. And so you're not only learning tonight the inflected forms of one verb, you are learning a paradigm, the suffix endings that are going to be seen in many Koine verbs in the New Testament. And so you just kind of file that in the back of your minds, and we'll keep on going. Alright? And so, next time, I am going to come up with a way that we would understand the mood of a Koine Greek verb form, and also, we're going to be looking up the first 15 or so vocabulary forms on 247 of your text. And I can only say that, you know, the more time you put in, the more you're going to get out. What goes in is what comes out. And I think that, to me, this is fruitful. And, as we go, I think it's going to be excellent. So I thank you guys for being here tonight. I'd hate to do this talking at a screen by myself. So I'm really thankful that you people, as working adults, want to spend time here. I'm really thankful for that, believe me. And so it also gives me energy and a boot to get moving and to do what I have to do. And so I'm really thankful for that. And if you have any questions or anything, we can open up the mic now. Thanks a lot.